Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
In Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, it states, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. You may say, well, I don't know what my gift is. Well, your gift is what you do well. It's what you're good at. That helps you to find out what your gift is. And then it goes on to say, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, which means to preach, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Now, let me explain that to you. You know, some people have the gift to preach because they can talk all day and never get tired. Some of you ladies have the gift to preach because you can get on the phone and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. That's a gift. Many men who think they have the gift to preach don't have the gift to preach. Now, the gift to preach really means that you can speak, you have ease in speaking and in communicating with people and connecting with them with what you say with such intensity and such clarity that people want to listen to you and hang on to every word. That's a gift. Everybody doesn't have that. You know that's the truth because some people that you associate with, they like to talk long, but they put you to sleep. Or you can't wait for them to stop talking. They're trying to tell you something, and you're saying, I just wish you'd stop talking. You've been to churches like that. I hope this is not one of them. Don't answer, though. The preacher is going on and on and on, and the Lord said, and God said, and this, and you're saying, and I say, let's end the service in Jesus' name. That person doesn't have the gift of preaching because regardless of how long they preach, you still want to hear more when they have the gift of preaching. It goes on to say in verse 7, if you have the gift of serving, serve others well. Serving is a gift. Everybody doesn't feel like serving. How many of you know that's the truth? You know that's the truth because you don't have that gift. You don't want to serve. You don't volunteer to serve. And then others, you'll see them just serving and putting their heart into it. And doesn't matter who's there, they're going to do it if they're all by themselves. Their service, that's your gift. God gave you your gift. And then it goes on to say, and if you are a teacher, teach well. Everybody can teach. Now, a lot of people try to teach, but you know they're not a teacher because you don't understand what they're saying. And the whole reason for teaching is to understand. There was a gentleman at one of the churches that I was in the past, and he said, I'm a teacher. Oh, pastor, let me teach. Let me teach. I got to teach. So I finally allowed him to teach. And everybody fell asleep. And they looked at their watches, and they wanted to know, had I lost my mind for allowing him to teach? So I apologized to people in private. And I told the gentleman, you're not a teacher. Because no one can understand what you're talking about and you put everybody to sleep. That's not your gift. I'm sure you have another gift, but that's not your gift. Verse 8 says, and if your gift is encouragement, then encourage others. Some people have the gift of encouragement, and you know who they are because they always have a positive word for you. They are always up. They are always trying to encourage you. And when you're around them, you feel up. You feel like everything's going to be better. Do you know some encouragers? That's a gift. You may have that gift of encouragement. It goes on to say, and if your gift is giving, give generously. There are some people who have the gift of giving. My wife has that gift. And it used to make me so nervous. Even when I knew her as a teenager. Because my wife would give to the Lord her, she would give the Lord her carfare. Over and above her tithes and her offerings, she would give the carfare to. And in those days, I was her brother. I was her big brother. So I was wondering, Lord, give me wisdom to speak to this young lady. Because she doesn't know when to stop giving. And she'd tell me, now, Steve, I gave my carfare today. I say, oh, Amelia, don't give your carfare. You gave your tithes and your offerings. Why do you have to give your carfare? Now I'm worried. Oh, I'm not worried about it. God will take care of me. And I would pray and say, oh, Lord, what are you going to do about that girl? And then she'd come to me at the closing service. Deacon so-and-so is going to take me home, or Sister so-and-so is taking me home. And just smile at me. And this would happen all the time. Sometimes my own dad would give her a lift home. She had to show me that being a giver, she was responding to what God put in her heart, and that God would always bless her and God would always take care of her. To this day, you folks don't know most of the things that we do for people in the church. It comes out of our pocket. I was afraid when I married her if I would have a house or a car to drive or a place to live. I might come home and find out she gave away the car. She gave away the house. Some days I was worried about our daughter. I might come home and see she gave away my daughter, my only child. Givers respond to the gift within them to give. And you want to know what God does? God comes and he heaps more blessing. God gives you, he gives you a couple of coins for giving. And with givers, God takes a wheelbarrow and he dumps it on top of them. So if you're a giver, don't be afraid to give. The Bible says give generously because God's just going to bless you back. That's what's going to happen. It goes on to say, if God has given you the gift of leadership or ruling ability, take that responsibility seriously. Don't just let anything happen. Don't let things get by you if God has made you a leader. Some people think that they are a leader. That's my gift. But I challenge you to look behind you. And if nobody's following you, you're not a leader. Who's in charge? I'm in charge. You're in charge of what? How can you be a leader if there's no one following you? That's a gift that God gives you. And last of all, it says, and if your gift is showing mercy or kindness to others, do it gladly. Some of you know you don't have that gift because when you do something for people, they walk away and you say, I did that. Oh, that was so nice that you helped that person. Yeah, but they should have taken care of it themselves. They should have made sure it was right. You don't have the gift of mercy. You may have helped somebody, but that's not your gift. Because the gift of mercy gives with kindness and is glad that they released it to someone. You just want to help somebody. You just want to show the compassion of God to people. These are supernatural gifts and abilities that God releases to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now repeat after me because you need to understand this, and this is why this message is so critical. My gift was loaned to me by the Holy Spirit to fulfill my destiny. See, your gift doesn't belong to you people. It was loaned to you. One day God's going to say, what did you do with the gift I loaned to you to fulfill your destiny? It belongs to him. It's a supernatural gift. Stop taking credit for the things you do well. It's a gift from God. He's given it to you to fulfill your destiny. And that gift will work wherever you use it because it's supernaturally touched by God. God will use that gift in the church. And God can use that gift in your house. God will use that gift in your occupation. God will use that gift in your school. God will use that gift in your community. He'll use that gift to touch the world. It's supernatural. It always brings you success. So why are you afraid to use it when it's something God gave you to fulfill your destiny?
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
There are a lot of people, even in the corporate world, they're using, knowledge that they learned in school. They have jobs that they could care less about. It's just to make money, but they're not happy. They're not fulfilled. It's a paycheck. But you need to be using your gift. Because what God has given you will give you success wherever, in your home, in your occupation, in your school. We wonder why we're not successful. Have you found out what your gift is, and are you using it in your occupation? Are you using it in the church? It's a loan. It's a supernatural gift from heaven. And God wants you to use it. Nobody can take your place. Your purpose cannot be replaced. Now, this is important because sometimes you think it doesn't matter if I do this or not. People, God's not going to get somebody else to take your place. The gift has been given to you to influence the lives of other people who are waiting for you to use that gift. Most of you have heard about Jonah the prophet. I want to illustrate what I'm talking about through his life very quickly. Jonah 1, verses 2 to 4, we find out that God called Jonah, gave him a gift of preaching, told him to go to the city of Nineveh to speak on his behalf. The Bible says the Lord spoke to Jonah and he said, "Leave at once for the important city of Nineveh. Announce to the people that I can no longer overlook the wicked things they've done." Jonah immediately tried to run away from the Lord by going to Tarsus. Jonah went in the other direction. He went to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarsus. He paid for the trip and went on board. He wanted to go to Tarsus so he could get away from the word of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. What has God told you to do that you haven't done yet, that you're avoiding? God gave Jonah an assignment that he didn't like. You will get some assignments in life you don't like. Just accept that. God sent him to preach to a people he didn't trust. You're not going to be able to trust everybody in your sphere of influence either. But God's not going to remove them. God sent him to a location he did not want to go. Sometimes God's going to send you places you'd rather not be. I'll just put it that way. I really didn't want to come here to Texas. There's a whole lot more going for me somewhere else. Plus, it's real hot in Texas. God will send you to places that you don't particularly want to go. I think Texas is a fine place myself. Didn't know much about it. What's that saying they say about Texas? If I had known it was so good, I couldn't have waited to get here quicker or something like that. It's one of those Texas tales. Just ignore that. God said, the direction of Nineveh is in that direction, Jonah. Jonah went in the opposite direction, hundreds of miles. Didn't want to go. But running away from your assignment will bring trouble to your life. This is why God wants me to tell you this. See, because there are some consequences that are immediate. Some will be later on in the judgment, like you saw. Because what you saw in that sketch is true. That's going to really happen someday. You're going to have to go in and talk to the Lord about what you did with your gifts. He's going to grade you on how you lived your life and what you did. Jonah tried to hide from the presence of God, but there's no hiding place from God. How many of you know that? The Bible says even the dark is as light to God. The Bible says in Jonah 1:4, the Lord sent a violent wind over the sea. The storm was so powerful that the ship was in danger of breaking up. It goes on to say in verse 5, the sailors were afraid and they cried out to their gods for help. They began to throw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship's load. You know, your disobedience can even affect those who associate with you. Like your family. When you disobey God, your family can be influenced by that. Jonah was on this boat, and the men on the boat were afraid for their lives. It goes on to say, now Jonah had gone down below the deck and was lying there sound asleep. And the captain of the ship went down and asked him, how can you sleep? Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will notice us. Maybe we won't die. You know what's interesting? Sometimes we are blinded by the suffering of others or the suffering we cause others because we're walking in disobedience. Sometimes our loved ones, they recognize the gift of God in you. Sometimes people who know you recognize the gift of God in you and they wonder and they're afraid for you. You're not using that gift. Why aren't you using that gift, that beautiful voice? You're not using that serving gift. You're not using that gift of administration, that ruling, that leadership gift. Why aren't you serving when you serve so well? Why aren't you using your gift? I would be afraid not to use my gift. There are people who would love to have your gift. And you have it stuffed in your back pocket, waiting for a more convenient time to use it. People, there will be no convenient time to use your gift. God opens the opportunity for us to use our gift now. And let me just say this. One of the first things that God requires in using your gift is faithfulness. I see I'm going to have to finish this next week. So I'll just go ahead and begin to stop right now. Did you understand what I just said? I'll begin to end now. The Bible says it's required of servants or stewards that they be found faithful. When Jesus gave the illustration of the kingdom of God, he said that the Lord came and he called his servants and he gave each of them some talents. He gave to one 5 talents or gifts. To another, he gave 2. And to another, he gave 1. And when he came back, the ones that had the most said, Lord, I took the 5 and I've got 5 more. The one with the 2 said, I took the 2 and I got 2 more. What did he say to them? He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Now listen to what he said next. I gave you a few things. Now I'm going to make you rule over many things. God always begins with a few things to see if you're faithful. And when you've been faithful, then God promotes you to greater things in your life. God's call on my life was always to be a pastor. But I started on the keyboards. I prayed that God would anoint me to play because we had a pianist for our youth choir who was an old lady having babies. Joy was 22. And she kept having those children. And we had to go out and sing. And we would go out and sing as a choir, and we sound loud, strong, and wrong. I was sick of it. So I said, we're going to do something about it. So my wife's cousin and myself, we started praying. We went to God about it. We figured he wouldn't stop her from having babies, so we need to pray that God would anoint us to play. So we did. Every Friday night, we would go. We'd go downstairs in the church, and we would get on our knees, and we'd be crying out to God and pounding the ground and saying, God, you got to help us play. The choir needs somebody. Needs somebody faithful. We'll be faithful to you. We will serve you all the days of our life. Just give us the opportunity. Just help us. And then we would go upstairs into the church and get on the musicians. There were thousands of dollars, those instruments, upstairs. We weren't supposed to be up there, but I guess we had a free pass because we were doing it for God. I haven't sorted all that out yet, but probably too late to deal with that now. But we would go up there, and I'd get on the piano, and Eugene would get on the organ, and we'd just be... Well, I'll tell you what, you got to have faith because things don't start out the way they're going to end. In 6 months, we were playing for the choirs in the church. We played for our youth choir. In time, I was playing for five choirs in the church. God says, you've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to make you, give you more responsibility. He called me into the ministry. That's a whole other story. You need about an hour for that. I'm going to end. But it was because of my faithfulness. I would go to church even when I was sick to play. I remember one time I had a fever. I was so very ill. The pastor called my house and he said to my mother, Dorothy, can Stephen come? Our regular organist is not here and we have a funeral. I know he may not be feeling well, but Dorothy, I'll pray with him. Can he come? And she said, honey, now the pastor is asking you to come. I know you're sick. You don't have to. You know how you put the phone down and you don't have to go. I said, Mama, I'm going. I'm going because God gave me this gift. I'm going. I'm going because if God gave me that gift, he can heal me. And I went and I played the organ for that service. That's just one of the things. My wife, my lovely wife, we're just teenagers, but we liked each other even then. We went beyond brothers to closer friends, brother and sister, I mean. If she wanted to talk to me after service, she'd have to wait for the whole service to be over for at least an hour, 45 minutes, because I was always playing the piano or the organ for everybody who was praying in the church. God requires stewards to be found faithful. People that God uses, they didn't just wake up and start being used that way. It's because of faithfulness that brings you to the point of destiny that God has for your life. You're going to pay a price for anything that God's going to do with your life.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of the message for today is The Truth About Your Life, Part 2. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, your Holy Son. Your word declares the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. When I cry unto thee, then mine enemies are turned back. Father, you see the opposition in our lives. You see the trouble in our lives. You see the problems in our lives. And so today we are asking for divine intervention. We thank you for your love. We thank you for divine protection. And we ask now, Lord, that you would make yourself very real in our situations right now and help us, deliver us. We thank you for hearing us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.